Today on this broadcast, I want to preach about something that should not be. Are you curious? Something that should not exist. It's called Christian rock and roll. It seems everything in our nation is under flux today and change. Some things are for the better, but other things are tragic beyond words. A watered-down present-day Christianity is characterized by slipping standards, deadly compromise, and worldliness. This is easily seen in religious music that many have accepted in this gullible age. For over a half a century, I've used music to prepare for the preaching of the Word of God. My buddy and I, Theron Babcock, Dr. Babcock, traveled with me for 45 years as we crisscrossed this nation, adding to the 70 years that I have preached crisscrossing this nation as evangelists. And as a team, we presented many instruments and much music, but we saw very quickly the error of the new fad of music called Christian rock and roll. The very name is reason enough for it to be wrong. In 1950, a Detroit disc jockey gave it the name from local vocabulary meaning fornication. How then could a meaning like that be forgotten and called Christian? A music said to promote such feelings and desires surely cannot bless a true believer and bring a sinner to Christ. Music planned to raise sensual enjoyment cannot be spiritual. Music planned to raise sensual enjoyment cannot be spiritual. Well, it is wrong, therefore, and it's wrong because of the fleshly beat. You hear the drums thundering the same cannibal beat as the jungle, and the deliberate instrumentation which copies the worst of the secular rock and roll techniques. The beat that arouses the flesh cannot possibly be a good vehicle to present the claims of Christ. It is often argued that since teens are hooked on the beat, why not use it for Christ? Or we hear, look at the crowds that come to hear it. Such reasoning is very weak. All it proves is that the crowds do not have guts and gumption and standards enough to call halt to something that is ruining music itself. You can always get a crowd with free beer or cigarettes, but that doesn't mean these things are good and a way to reach men. The music itself feeds the flesh. A spring cannot bring forth evil and good water at the same time. When the mind is assaulted with a fleshly beat and deliberate musical perversion, the Christian words are lost and cannot do their work. A little truth that is contained is lost in the racket of worldly, flesh-pleasing sounds. The third thing I believe that makes Christian rock and roll wrong is that the words are vague and really lacking in the meat of the Bible. They can often be adapted to mean different things even to the listener. Seldom do they speak of deep surrender, dying to self, total consecration, and deep commitment to Christ. Shallow phrases are repeated, crooned and whined and whimpered, and the keys changed to draw the voices about in show-off manly beauty in the style of the world's garbage music. Biblical promises tailored for listener enjoyment miss the goal of biblical revelation. Thus the listener is weakly entertained instead of seeking a firmer relationship with God. The fourth reason I believe rock and roll will be wrong, and I say again, I'm not just some kinky old preacher somewhere sitting by a mic. I spent all the years of my life in music serving the Lord. The fourth reason focuses on the spotlight of reason upon those who write and perform the music of rock and roll Christian today. It's only professionalism. It results in self-glorification. All of this becomes the main thing. Popularity with the Christian masses becomes paramount as hero worship musicians press for the top of the Christian charts. The singer's spiritual death is not measured, and their shallow experience often leads to the musical slaughter of great musical and biblical truths. Biblical musicians must live lives of true holiness, possess unquestionable example in personal things, and lead the way with genuine true quality, with music service that pleases God. Making more money and drawing bigger crowds seems to be the goal of those seeking personal gain. They sing anything to leap to great prominence. Pied Pipers with tremendous appeal among weak believers, but with a careless spiritual attitude towards God. I spot them as they dress like and admire and copy after the worldly crowd to be an in musician, which certainly does not glorify God. And then further, I notice the results of rock and roll type Christian music. The irate lovers of religious rock write some of the meanest letters that I've ever received. They sometimes appoint themselves to set us straight, accusing us of preventing true revival and keeping thousands of youths from Christ. One irate Christian school teacher ranted, "I would have a lot to answer before God because I discouraged the music that his kids so loved." I know who will win at the judgment. Respect for age and years of musical training experience and so on and so forth are shoved aside in a rush to defend an ugly style of music that cannot glorify God. Lovers of Christian rock and roll music rush to a heated defense sometimes because they are immature, compromising crowd. Shallow music sung by shallow singers results in shallow listeners. True separation demands that a true Christ-honoring believer must avoid such music. The church that allows it opens the doors to further sin. Satan's contemporary music is a tool to pry the church open to greater compromise and shallower faith and actions. First, the questionable music. Then there always follows the slip in discipline, and the morals take a tumble. Faithfulness and dedication will vanish, and self-pleasing will become the goal. Volunteers for service will change to self-pleasing lovers of religious entertainment. Religious rock-loving fans seldom develop into godly, holy, lifetime, soul-winning, great Christ-honoring servants. Seldom do they do so. True Christian leaders must keep such music out of our churches and from our youth. We must cry with the Bible, "How long will you turn my glory into shame?" For those of you who perhaps still have a doubt, I would like to urge you to pick a large Christian music store. I would like you to walk in and ask for the comparison chart. All of them have one. They'll reach under the counter and pull out the chart and lay it on the counter to help you in your choosing of whatever music they hope you will buy. If you look at that chart very closely, and I've seen several of them, if you look at that chart very closely, you will see down the left column all of the main, ugly, worldly, sensuous rock and roll singer groups. They're all listed according to their preeminence and according to the relationship that they have or have earned. Then you will notice, the man at the bookstore will tell you, put your finger on the style of rock and roll singing and singers that you most like and follow that arrow. See it there? Follow that arrow over to the right-hand column made up of contemporary Christian musicians. And when you have chosen the regular rock and roll musician style, follow your arrow over, you will discover the Christian contemporary group that uses that same style. I am not making this up. I have seen it repeatedly. It is one of the tools that are used in causing young people who are captured by the beat and the lyrics and the actions of rock singers by following the arrow over on the chart, and then the so-called Christian music salesman can say, well, then you will most like this Christian group because they most copy after that worldly rock and roll group. How sad. How tragic. But I've tested it several times, and others have told me they have as well. You cannot please God by copying after those who are not using good music. In my own church, shortly before it became so wild that I departed from it, a foolish pastor stood and said, I know you old folks don't like Christian rock and roll. This kind of rock and roll, however, we're going to use from now on. Christian contemporary music will be the music of this church. And, he said, if you don't like it, stay home. Stupid, huh? How sad, how tragic. No wonder the man that said it is now out of the ministry, doing very little for God. I say again, one must be very careful of the atmosphere. Christian radio stations. We're very near one right now. I have to turn it down every time. There are a few good numbers mixed in and a few good speakers. But mostly it's the new beat, the new rock, the new whine and cry and thunderous beat that follows the music of contemporary lovers. And so I simply want to make this broadcast today be a warning, please. Don't get angry with me. Do a little investigating on your own part and discover in your heart that there are some very clear question marks about the contemporary music that you've allowed to captivate your mind and heart as you sit and tap your foot and sing the phrases and be pulled into things that are not true to the Word of God. I don't want to be unkind, but I want to preserve the church. I want to preserve its music. I want to preserve its blessing to the crowds that come to hear it. I'm not just an old fuddy-duddy that can't take anything new. We were constantly in our team ministry arranging new thoughts, but we always kept very carefully away from the beat and the misstandards of the world when we came out with a new song. I pray today that you will not think this is just one foolish old man somewhere sitting at his desk by a mic, age 84, who doesn't know what he's talking about. I have spent a lifetime in music and in preaching as an evangelist. And I know what's hurting the church today. One of the biggest tools the devil is using is contemporary Christian music that patterns itself after the rock and roll of the world and destroys true worship and the beautiful truths of an eternal God. God help you to choose good music for you and for your children and insist on it for your church. God bless the good music. Lord, condemn the evil music and let the church continue strong, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.